आरजे 1200 और रेडियो मिर्ची सुन रहे हैं आप। गपशप का प्रोग्राम है, हमारी घड़ी में बाद दोपहर के 2 बजे हैं। अब से लेकर 3 बजे तक आपका और हमारा साथ रहेगा हमारे आज के इस कार्यक्रम में, जिसका नाम है गपशप, जिसमें वो सभी बातें जो आज आपकी नजरों में अटकेंगी, खटकेंगे, दिल में समा जाएंगे, उन सबको लेकर हम हाजिर हैं। ये बताते हुए कि इट्स अ ब्यूटीफुल डे आउटसाइड एंड ऑब्वियसली इट्स गोना नॉट स्टे लाइक दिस, दे आर सेइंग रेन टुमारो एंड डे आफ्टर, बट द वीकेंड इज ग्लोरियस। And as promised, we are kicking off our special program on Royal Columbian Hospital fundraising that is going to take place in October, on the 8th of October. And from now on, every Wednesday, we will have a program on Royal Columbian Hospital. And today, I am very pleased to say that we've got some fantastic people in the studio. The studio is full of doctors and cardiologists. So we've got, let me just introduce everybody to you. The first person whom I've known for many, many years is John Ashbridge. He's RCH Foundation, past vice chair and current director. John has also been a cardiac patient at Royal Columbian Hospital. How are you doing, John?
I'm very well, especially thanks to the care and treatment and facilities and technology that I experienced at Royal Columbian. So I'm here not just as a representative of the foundation, but also as a satisfied customer.
And the voice is so familiar.
You were expecting somebody taller, weren't you? So was I.
And that happens with me too. The very first time somebody talked to me and they opened the door and their gaze just from the top went all the way down. Mm. Ooh. Then we have Dr. Arun Garg, who has been in our program many times. He's the program medical director for laboratory medicine and pathology in Fraser Health and clinical associate professor of pathology in the Faculty of Medicine, the University of British Columbia. Dr. Garg, how are you doing?
Very good. So nice to be here. It's always a pleasure to be with you on the show.
Well, thank you so much. Well, the right thing to say. We also have Dr. Jahangir Charania, who is a cardiologist, and him and I have been talking about my heart condition and health of my heart, and both of us feel that my heart is doing really well.
Absolutely, and you look great today, too, by the way.
Thank you so much. And for the very first time, we are meeting Dr. Eden Khan, RCH trauma physician and trauma team lead and cardiac patient at RCH.
That's correct.
I'll come to you first.
Okay.
You and both Ash have been patients, so you look so fit to me.
Oh, thank you. I like Mr. Ashbourne here. I've been a patient at the Royal Columbian recently, not of my own liking, but I did have a cardiac event and I got to experience all the services and all the great care at the Royal Columbian Hospital recently, which we can talk about later if you want,
yes,
or now.
We'd love to do that. So let's talk about Royal Columbian Hospital. Each one of you is associated with the hospital in one way or another, either as a physician or somebody who has been at the hospital. And John, you very beautifully said that, you know, you got great care at the hospital.
I did.
In your own words, what does this hospital mean to our community, you know?
This hospital is the hub of our community in terms of so many things, in terms of its treatment of trauma patients, anybody who happens to be injured with a life-threatening injury, anywhere from Burnaby to Boston Bar and from the border to the bush, as we like to say. It's the fastest growing region in British Columbia in terms of its population and certainly in terms of its requirements of health care. But it's also a center of excellence when it comes to such things as neurosurgery, neonatal intensive care, and what we're here to talk about today, and that is cardiac care. I happen to live within 3 blocks of the hospital, and when I suffered a third degree heart block, I had an ambulance at my door, and I had a quick trip to the hospital, a very short trip to the hospital, and to have a pacemaker implanted, and I feel much better for it. Now, I had other heart surgery later on, but let's not dwell with that. But let me pass along just a personal and very current instance. One of my colleagues with whom I work on a number of sports events, his father was taken to hospital yesterday in Port Moody. Turns out that he had a heart attack. And I was able to say, because of my knowledge and because of also the level of care that I know is found at Royal Columbian, he's at Eagle Ridge If it had been a life-threatening situation, I'm sure that he would have been referred almost directly to Royal Columbian Hospital. So I was able to tell my colleague, don't panic. He is not in a serious condition. As it turns out, I've checked with him today. He is coming to Royal Columbian Hospital, but to have an angiogram done and possibly to have a stent implanted. So knowing the level of care and the level of seriousness of some, even though I'm not a medicine man, I do know how it operates, and I can tell you that I, as I said to him, he picked the right time and the right place to have his heart attack because he's not going to get better care anywhere else.
You can. I wish everybody could pick the right time and, right
place. And you can. So knowing that it's there, that's important.
That's true. That is very true. Talking about heart, Dr. Charania, as a cardiologist, you feel that our community, the South Asian community, really has a major problem with heart, right? And so although people, many years ago, I must say 20 years ago, 25 years ago, when my mother had a heart attack, she was taken to Royal Columbian Hospital. And from there, she was transferred to VGH, I don't know why, but, her operation took place at Royal Columbian Hospital. So Royal Columbian Hospital has been there for the community. Do you see an increase in the South Asian patients in the hospital?
I think without question, we are seeing a dramatic increase in the amount of South Asian people that we see needing cardiac services. In general, South Asian patients are at about a 3 to 4-fold risk of having serious heart attacks or cardiac disease compared with the Canadian population.
Right.
And so this is becoming an extremely important aspect of care in this particular region. And certainly the rates of dying after a heart attack are higher in the South Asian population than in the non-Asian population. The risks of developing blockages at younger ages is much higher in the South Asian population.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but the burden of blockage is higher. So if you take the same age South Asian male or female compared with a non-South Asian male or female, there are more arteries that are blocked. The blockages themselves tend to be harder and more fibrotic or calcified.
Really?
And the amount and the extent of the blockages is more severe.
So does it have something to do with our genetic makeup, or is it the type of food that we eat?
Oh, I don't think we can answer a question like that so so simply. That would require 3 months of radio programming.
But we do have a whole month.
In general, risk factors for heart disease, especially in the South Asian population, can be divided up into the traditional and the non-traditional.
Okay.
And certainly the traditional ones of smoking, diabetes, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, they're all higher in the South Asian population. And certainly if you want to talk to me about each one in individual detail, we can go through that during this program.
We will. Absolutely. I would like to do that.
And would be happy to share more detail about
those. Right. So you mentioned that because it is so high in the South Asian community, so when you are at the trauma unit, do you see an accident takes place, or there is a South Asian young male, would they be more prone to having a heart problem or a cardiac arrest than a non-South Asian?
Well, I think as Dr. Chen mentioned, they have several higher risks than some of the general population in Canada. We do see a lot of, obviously, South Asian trauma patients. May not all the time be related to their heart, but there are many other factors in trauma. But I think they are at higher risk, as Dr. Chen said, based on some of their genetics and some of their, I think, Dr. Tranny can probably attest to that more, but this probably diet and genetics, it's multifactorial.
Mm-hmm. And you did, Dr. Garg, you did a huge symposium on the South Asian communities, eating habits, diabetes is a huge factor in taking people from diabetes onto a heart problem. And your research and your work with the Indian institution is sort of giving you an insight as to why we are so dispositioned to have all these problems.
Yeah, first of all, Sushmaji, I'm so happy to be here, as I said before, because today, through this program, I think we are embarking on something very critical to our community.
Mm-hmm.
So besides supporting Rock Lumbian Hospital and the foundation, what really happening is that Fraser Health as a whole and Rock Lumbian Hospital have decided, and they are encouraged me when I started the South Asian Institute,
mm-hmm.
that we are going to become a global leader. So I'm very happy that that's happening slowly but surely. And Rock Lumbian is playing a very big role. So all your listeners should really have a special place for Rock Lumbian through its foundation. And we can talk a lot more about since I was here last time.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that in New York, they started something like what we've been doing. And then they found out about us.
Right.
So now they have invited me to be part of that. So I think the word is getting out. The problems as described by the doctors
right.
is real. We could argue here till cows have come home
mm-hmm.
why this happens.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what time is for action? So I think through Foundation and through Rock Lumbian Hospital, what's happening is, and through Fraser Health as a whole, two things. One is we're building programs to look after people when they get sick.
Okay.
And you already heard from doctors, you know, in terms of cardiology
right.
and surgery. But even more important is we're going to reach out to the community to see if we could lower the burden through prevention.
So prevention.
Prevention,
mm. yeah.
health promotion. And for our community, it's the awareness.
Right.
That there is a problem, Charlie. There is a problem, Houston. Let's do something. So I think thank you very much for having us on a program like this. And I think as we talk, we should do it every week. This is so big.
Yes.
And it's such a big impact on our population. And Rock Lumbian Hospital plays such a big role in it. And I think they want to play a bigger role.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that information, Dr. Garg. As a patient there, John, you know, you mentioned that, you know, you got amazing, you know, help, amazing. The doctors are fantastic over there. My younger brother also was in the hospital last year, had a heart attack and had to be taken to the hospital. Of course, he was a bad boy because he did not take his Stentons. So his arteries were completely clogged, and they had to keep him in coma for at least 3 days so that his lungs could be cleared of whatever there was in the lungs. But, you know, the hospital does not look at the color of the patient. It just looks after the patient. Patient could be South Asian, could be non-South Asian, whatever.
It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in need of care, you come in through the door and you get that care. And to follow up on something that Dr. Garg said, Rock Lumbian wants to become a leader in providing this type of care. It's not because Royal Columbian Hospital or its foundation have to go out and find things to do. This is a demand that's been placed upon us.
Yes.
And if we're going to do it, let's do it right. And
right.
we have a measurable South Asian population that requires treatment. And as we've already discussed, diet, genetics, various other factors, lifestyle, do contribute to a higher incidence of South Asians requiring this type of care. So this is the perfect place and the perfect time to do it. Now, your younger brother, I'm sure he had a wonderful experience at Royal Columbian Hospital. It's because of the people.
Mm-hmm.
We have some wonderful people there. But we need new facilities.
Yes.
And this is why Royal Columbian Hospital is on the verge of what is going to become the largest hospital rebuilding project in North America.
Wow.
Not just in the region, not just in Canada, but in North America. You know, I won't bore you with the billions of dollars and the numbers of years, but it is finally Royal Columbian's turn to rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
And in rebuilding, we can then make provision for the improved care, the larger care, and the larger population base that are going to rely on Royal Columbian for the type of care that they've come to expect from the people. Now we'll have the facilities to be able to do it.
So all four of you, when you're sitting down here and talking about this, obviously your foundation also looks at the next 20 years, what is happening and what is going to be happening in the next 20 years. So that probably sometimes must give you nightmares and you know, keeping awake all night, mm-hmm. because here is a population, I mean, first of all, the baby boomers are living longer, so there's going to be, you know, care for them. And then a younger generation coming in that probably has got a disposition for heart problems. So do you guys have a 5-year plan, 10-year plan, 15, 20-year plan?
All of the above.
All of them. So Dr. Chiranya, if you were asked, what is your wish list for the hospital, what would you say? You have only a minute.
By the time a patient comes to me, I often feel that, and I don't want to use the phrase it's too late, because
yes.
it's not.
Yes.
What I would like to do is emphasize prevention. Because by the time they've come in to see me with their heart attack, mm-hmm. they've already got established blockages in the arteries of their heart. They're likely already had some heart muscle damage that may or may not regenerate itself. So the top of my wish list would be community awareness and a dramatically increased emphasis on prevention of coronary artery disease in everyone, particularly the South Asian population.
Fantastic. So prevention, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We will take a short commercial break. We've got in our studios 4 people, and if you have any questions, after 2:30 we'll open up the telephone lines. John Ashbridge is in the studios. We've got Dr. Arun Garg. We've got Dr. Jahangir Charania. And we've got Dr. Eden Khan. All of them are here. If you have any questions, give us a call at 604-280-1200, 604-299-8863 after 2:30. We'll take a short break and we'll be right back. RJ 1200 aur Radio Rimjhim Sun Rhe Aap Gapshap ka program hai. And as you heard, 8 October ko Royal Columbian Hospital ke liye RJ 1200 और रेडियो रिमझिम दोनों हम फंड रेजिंग कर रहे हैं और इस फंड रेजिंग के पीछे डॉक्टर गर्ग ने और यू नो डॉक्टर चरानिया ने डॉक्टर खान ने और जॉन एशब्रिज ने बताया कि जरूरत है हमें नए बड़े अस्पताल की क्योंकि हमारी अपनी कम्युनिटी में ये प्रॉब्लम्स काफी ज्यादा हैं खासतौर पर दिल के और डायबिटीज के I wanted to come to you, Dr. Charanya, and ask you about, you know, we all mentioned about prevention. So prevention is the key. But for those who already have developed this ailment, what is it that they can do and how can the hospital, you know, help them in that?
Well, those measures and advice that we give to patients for prevention are the same that we give to patients who have already had heart attacks.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was to talk sort of in general terms, the 3 or 4 pieces of advice would be the following, not necessarily in this order, but the first is have a good relationship with your family doctor and see your family doctor regularly.
And if you don't have a family doctor then?
Well, that's a very, very difficult issue.
Yep.
The easiest way to find a family doctor is to go on the College of Physicians and Surgeons of BC website,
okay.
and they will have a list of family doctors who are accepting patients in your area.
All right.
Now, a lot of family doctors are fully booked. It's tough, especially if you have previous medical problems, to be enlisted with a new family doctor. So a walk-in clinic is not a bad alternative to having a family doctor.
Okay.
The purpose for visiting someone in primary care is to make sure that your blood pressure is well controlled, make sure your cholesterol is well controlled, make sure that your diabetes is well controlled, or screening you for diabetes and the complications of all of those three. So that would be the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing I tell patients is to eat properly. And what I mean by that is eating the right foods and portion control. Most people want a second helping, but they don't need a second helping. A simple way to divide your plate is, you know, divide your plate into quarters, of which one half should be vegetables, one quarter meat or a protein alternative for those that are vegetarian, and one quarter for whole grains. And that's a very simple way of controlling not only the proportion of the right foods to eat, but also the amount of the right foods to eat.
And you can't heap up the plate either.
No, you can't change the size of your plates. That's right. The third thing is exercise regularly. And that doesn't mean you go to Zumba classes for 90 minutes back to back.
You're right.
For cardiovascular health, we recommend exercising for 25 to 30 minutes a day at moderate workloads 5 days a week. Wow. And most people have time to do that.
Yeah.
Well, people tend to be lazy and say they don't have time.
Yes.
But in general, most people have 25 to 30 minutes to do these type of exercise. And that doesn't mean you have to sprint for 25 to 30 minutes. It means you take a brisk walk for 25 to 30 minutes. It doesn't have to be all at one time. So if you park 15 minutes away from your work, you can take a brisk walk into work for 15 minutes, and then at the end of the day, take the walk 15 minutes back to your car.
Or while you're texting somebody, you can just walk and walk back and text. Walk, text.
It's harder to exercise briskly while you're texting.
Sometimes it is if you're angry.
Fair enough.
No, I mean, I just thought I'll throw that in there, because you cannot text while you're driving, that's for sure. But you can text while you're walking. And I've seen that. I've seen kids do that. Why can't older people do that? Maybe it's hand-eye coordination.
Yeah, you needed to grow up playing video games.
That's right. Did you play video games when you were young?
I did not.
Oh.
My parents were very strict with those types of things.
He was busy studying.
That's why he's a cardiologist. So, as far as men and women are concerned, both of them have different symptoms for a heart attack and different symptoms for a heart ailment. And one can confuse between a upset stomach and acid reflux to a heart attack.
Yeah, men and women are very different creatures, and there's no question that women tend to present much differently than men would with heart attacks. So women tend to have more shortness of breath than pain in their chest. They tend to have more pains elsewhere as opposed to in their chest. Women tend to ignore their symptoms a little bit more than men because traditionally women's roles tend to be a little bit more important than men's roles, especially when it comes to the home, and especially in the South Asian population. So there's no question that physicians need to have a higher, what we call, index of suspicion, or need to think about these types of atypical presentations when we see women who have a variety of different symptoms.
Talking about a hospital, obviously, the hospital does get funding from the government, but there are lots and lots of projects that the government can't continue funding. So hence, each hospital has a foundation, and the foundation's job is to get funding for the hospital for various equipment that is needed. I don't know who will be able to answer this, but what is it that we are currently in need of? Because we have that 5-year, 10-year, 15-year, and 20-year project already, in place. So what is it that we currently need?
Well, I mean, you asked about what would be your wish list. I mean, I am an emergency physician at heart.
Yes.
I do trauma. But we, as you know from multiple reports in the past, that, RCH has had its issues. But we've obviously come through it. We do need a bigger physical plant.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about our redo of our hospital, which is going to be, we're looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
And our wish list, really, for me, as our growing population, it's only going to get worse. And so we need more physical space. We need more beds. We need more equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And as you alluded to, there's not a lot of money in our system for that. And so we do look to other areas for funding, and that's where the RCH Foundation comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say from my perspective, we've had many generous donations from the foundation to help us with equipment that we couldn't get through other sources. And so they have funded us for, I think, some ultrasound machines, which we needed, which is crucial to our diagnosis and management of trauma patients as well as emergency physicians. Many other, which maybe Mr. Ashmore could allude to. But, I guess I have to say that the foundation has been very helpful to provide us with some resources, well-needed resources, to help us function.
Shushmaji, and really thinking of the listeners, I think there is a fantastic opportunity for our South Asian community here. So my dream wish, as you know, I've been a rock Columbian 43 years.
Yes.
43 years.
That's right.
I started when I was 5 years old. Right?
But, I'm glad you clarified that.
I think there is a very significant opportunity now. So beside funding for buildings, beside funding for some programs, in South Asian health, there is a need for research. And I think Rock Columbian Hospital finds itself in a very unique position because we are just starting to become a major academic center.
Right.
So I think through South Asian community, it will be wonderful to have targeted funding for research. And I know foundation is ready for it. Mm-hmm. I was just talking to the CEO this morning, and I think just imagine what it'll be like if Royal Columbian Hospital and Fraser Health became a global leader, because the opportunity is there in South Asian health research.
Right.
So my wish list in terms of thinking 5 years, 10 years ahead is that Fraser Health and Royal Columbian become true international leaders in South Asian health research. And I think you combine good care, which is very important, and whatever we could do for funding. But I think this is an opportunity for our community to engage in a big way. And if anybody can do it, our community can do it. And I think we need to really pursue that, which is research, how to lower the burden, research around how to make changes in people's behavior, and research around what it's all about. And we have opportunity in all those areas.
And I think in the next little while, especially from now on till October 8th and the whole year round, it is important for the community to know about Royal Columbian Hospital, to look at it and say, you know, if I haven't been there, somebody in 6 degrees of separation, somebody has been there, you know. So in every family, there has been someone who has gone and gotten good care at Royal Columbian Hospital. So really, doing this program is not just to say to the community, we need money, give us the money. There are a lot of organizations that want money. There are a lot of people who, and our community is very good at giving money to BC Children's Hospital, which, as you remember, we started the radiothons for them and telethons for them. But as the community is growing older, the need for the older generation to be looked after, the need to be for the younger generation who that comes up with heart ailments, that needs to be looked after. So our focus has to be divided maybe a little bit and look after our children and look after, you know, our, you know, heart patients. I want to come back to John right after this short commercial break. And John, ask you as to, you know, when you are in the hospital and you've received care, there must have been some things that you look at and say, I wish, you know, I wish they had this so that it could be better. But we'll take a short break.
I'll practice my answers.
Why don't you do that? We'll be right back. We are talking to the Royal Columbian Hospital cardiologists and patients who have used the services at Royal Columbian Hospital. Right after this short commercial break, we'll be back. RJ 1200 और रेडियो रिमझिम सुन रहे हैं आप गपशप का प्रोग्राम है और आज हम रॉयल कोलंबियन हॉस्पिटल के बारे में और फाउंडेशन के बारे में प्रोग्राम हमने शुरू किया है एवरी वेंसडे 2 से लेकर 3 बजे तक हॉस्पिटल फाउंडेशन से हॉस्पिटल की तरफ से लोग हमारे इन प्रोग्रामों में हिस्सा लेंगे अगर आपके पास कोई सवाल हो तो आप बड़े शौक से फोन कर सकते हैं 604-280-1200 या 604-299-8863 एंड ऑन अक्टूबर 8th फ्रॉम 10 AM टू 6 PM वी वुड हैव fundraising drive for the hospital. So, John, coming to you, my question.
Well, the doctors have all given you different wish lists of different things that they need and want for their own areas of specialty. Rest assured, you and your listeners, that there is no end of things on which money can be spent.
True.
Especially when it comes to, you know, our mandate is to treat the most seriously ill and to specialize in many of the life-threatening areas that are presented to us. Use the example of the mobile heart-lung machine that was developed out of the necessity to get a piece of equipment that could go to the scene and keep a patient who could be revived and could survive,
right.
Keep that patient alive long enough to get them to the trauma center, to a cardiac care center. Because of the publicity that went out, a donor who had previously probably never given any consideration whatsoever to funding a piece of equipment like that called and said, "How much was that? I'll give you the money."
Wow.
As a result of our then sharing that information, we understand that there is another patient who has been touched by that piece of equipment who has said, "Well, I can give money as well." Now, we may not need another one of those pieces of equipment, but that money can be redirected into a life-saving or a care treatment area that has perhaps touched that person and will touch many, many more as the days and the months and the years go by. So there is no end of medical technology that can be funded by the gifts that are given, whether they are major corporate gifts or even just individual gifts. Somebody says, "I want to do something for Royal Columbian Hospital. I want to help with Dr. Charania preaching prevention."
Mm-hmm.
Is there something that I can fund? One of the other hats that I wear is as a result of having had open heart surgery, I now do sort of a hospital round, talking to people who are either preparing for or have had open heart surgery. I'm speaking to them on a non-medical basis, but pointing out to them the resources that are now available for them in the community to make sure that they don't come back. So while Dr. Charania is preaching to those that he doesn't want to see, don't come here with your, don't develop the problem in the
right.
first place.
That's
I'm
true.
Going to people and saying, here are the resources that are available in the community to ensure that you don't have a recurrence. And pass the word to your relatives, pass the word to your friends, pass the word throughout the South Asian community. And yes, I do see a measurable number of South Asian patients who are either preparing for or who have just had open heart surgery.
And I don't want to, I really don't want to emphasize on the specifics, but I do feel that in the South Asian community, until and unless they find out that drinking isn't good for them, you know, you have to tell them 100 times it's not good for you. I mean, you can drink once in a while, but, you know, binge drinking is bad. Eating fatty foods and oily foods and eating gulab jamuns and jalebis and samosas every weekend is not that great. You know, it almost seems like until it happens to them, they do not.
It's too late.
It is.
But I think, as Dr. Charania said, if we could just emphasize portion control.
Yes.
Yes, you know, like when I was here last time, we talked about 5 Ks.
Hanji.
That kind of language we have to use. So, kya khate ho? Kab khate ho? Kitna khate ho? Kyon khate ho? Kaise khate ho?
Perfect.
So, it's really kitna khate ho is as important.
And kis vakt khate ho?
Yeah.
And that's,
I think,
important.
So our community, we really need to have that awareness. And good thing is that Royal Columbian Hospital and Fraser Health both have said that we are going to do something about it. So we are going to start programs in the community, working with our temples, working with our gurdwaras about these all things so that we can embark on prevention. But doesn't matter how good the prevention is, we still need fantastic facilities at the Royal Columbian Hospital to take care of the people when they do suffer. So I think for today's message, beside awareness and beside being engaged with the community, also other message is that on October 8th, we have to make sure that our community gets engaged and gets involved in supporting Royal Columbian Hospital and its foundation.
For sure. Now, all of you, although I don't think Dr. Charania ever did, but watched those science fiction programs in which, you know, doctors have these gadgets where you just put on your head and find out what's the problem with the head and get the ailment all treated. Are we going... Did you ever watch any of those shows, Dr. Chirani? I'm sorry, I'm picking on you.
Of course I did. I wasn't locked up in the attic with a candlestick and books.
But do you think we're getting to that point? Do you think our medical advancement is such that, I mean, for me to look at, I was a young woman in England when the first open heart surgery took place, right? And a doctor in South Africa did that, right?
Heart transplant.
Heart transplant.
Dr. Christian Barnard. Yes.
Christian Barnard, that's right. From that point onward to now, you as a cardiologist must have seen huge improvement. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, technology has advanced at a rapid rate and continues to exponentially grow. Will we ever get to the point where I can stick a machine on someone's head and cure them of all their ailments? I think that's reserved for the science programs.
Maybe 20 years from now?
But I think you're emphasizing the importance of the community engaging in, you know, Donation Day on October 8th in order for us to continue to advance the science, continue to advance the engineering, continue to advance the technology. Mm-hmm. We do need funds to do that. And there's no question that in every area in medicine, there is rapid advancement.
Right. So as far as fundraising is concerned, obviously when funds are raised, community feels that, yes, I'm going to give some money, but I'd like my money to be directed to a certain project. Are there different projects like that within the foundation that people can say, okay, I need to, you know?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, there are restricted funds. There are funds that are given specifically for certain areas of treatment. And mm-hmm. we respect all of the conditions that are laid upon those funds being made available to us. And we are most grateful for them. And if that's where you want your money to go, that's where your money will go.
Now, as far as the South Asian community is concerned, we usually believe that 10% of our earnings should go to, you know, donations. And is there a way where people can, instead of giving a lump sum, can do it on a regular basis, on a monthly basis?
Absolutely. This is the beauty of Rock Lemmon Foundation, Shushmazi. Mm-hmm. It's well organized and it's very accountable. Mm-hmm. And it has all the flexibility you can have. So you could designate a program, you can have already a program which is working,
right?
Or you could give one lump sum, you can give monthly, you can give daily, you can give in any way, form or shape. And I think for our community, we also have an opportunity because Rock Columbian is just coming part of, as I said before, of the academic work in Fraser Health, recognizing South Asian health, so that people can even target to South Asian health projects.
Okay, all right. And, so there is a project like that.
Yeah, we are doing several projects on South Asian health, and if anybody was interested, we'll be happy to talk to them. And as a matter of fact, I would say to your listeners, let's get engaged, because Rock Columbian Hospital has, Fraser Health has all the facilities to take South Asian health to the next level. Mm-hmm. So maybe we could work with the community and use this as an opportunity. So our next century, which we're really celebrating Rock Columbian 150.
That's right.
Next century, we could take with great pride. We started something, community got engaged,
right,
and here is the answer.
Fantastic. On that very positive note, we'll take a short commercial break and break for news, and we'll be right